Nancy Fuller believes in bringing family together around the table, sharing stories and table manners. Her philosophy is to feed others with delicious, simple meals from the heart. Her straight shooter approach to cooking certainly takes the hassle out of dinner preparation. She is the host of the very popular Farmhouse Rules program on the Food Network and is the owner of Ginsburg's Foods, a multi-million dollar business that she runs with her husband. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Nancy Fuller to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Joe Donahue.
It is very, very nice to meet you and to have you on the show. I love watching your program. I love seeing your work. And now, and we'll talk about the book in a second, because it's a really gorgeous way of seeing the work and seeing what you do. How did all of this come about? How did you land a show?
There was a market media company in the area, and they were filming, and they saw me, and they said, "Gee, you're such a natural. Have you done television before?" And I said, "No, honey. I'm 63 and fat. That's as natural as it gets." And that's the truth.
So then why does that – and so why does that work, do you think? For an audience and for the executives who normally wouldn't hire someone
as
you just described, from what I hear in this Hollywood business.
Well, I think that the success, and bless you all and thank you all for watching, because it's just the natural personality. It's who I am. It's what I do. There's an apron, no cleavage.
Yeah.
There's the only fake thing about me is my dyed hair.
So it was important for you to not go to a studio. You wanted to do it from your home.
Well, I think they wanted me to do it from my home, but that's what I expected.
Yeah.
I never expected to go to a studio. This was all about who I am and what I do and my passion and support for the farmers. I was raised on a dairy farm. I raised my children on a dairy farm. It's in my blood, absolutely in my blood. And what I adore is the fact that these people that have worked so hard to maintain these farms forever, some of the generations are coming back. Chase Home Farm is back. Sarah's milking the cows. They're second, third generation. Rory's making cheese.
Mm.
Fred Behringer has been on my farm in Copake milking 70 head of cattle for 30 years. He's now making milk, making ice cream, making, you know, just wonderful things for people to now enjoy. It's a whole new movement. It's history repeating itself. I mean, we've all been eating all this food for our whole lives.
Right.
The oldies. But now it's coming back. It's just phenomenal. And that's my passion.
So tell us what you were doing before you got a show out of your house. This Ginsburg's Foods has been around for how long?
106 years, 105 years.
Now, people in the region, certainly, we've seen your trucks. So tell us a little bit about the company and how you've been a part of that and how that is a fairly natural transition to what you're doing now.
Well, it's ironic that both David and I both had families that were in food.
Right. David, your husband.
My husband, yes. David Ginsburg. And David's family has been in this business his grandfather came through Ellis Island in 1909 or 1906 and came to Hudson and was a merchant, was a butcher on Front Street in Hudson in 1909. From that, Morton Ginsburg, son of Sam Ginsburg, that evolved into a grocery store. The grocery store, Morton closed, I think, in the early 60s. And had the insight to go forth with food distribution. He saw that people were eating out, that there was going to be food in schools. And again, he had the insight to follow his intuition. And then David came on board after college, and I think that was 1969, maybe. And he started growing the business with Morton. And then Ira, 5 years later, got out of college, and he joined the company. And together, those three wonderful men just escalated in the food distribution business.
Right.
And then in 2006, Ira retired, and I bought him out. And then we brought my son, John Bruzzi, back into the fold for our succession. And now we're just waiting for Sam, David's grandson, Sam, to get old enough and get educated and bring him back into the fold so that we're on a fourth and fifth generation, and that's just what we hope.
The sphere of influence of that company is what? How far, if you look at your geography map, you go where? Everywhere?
We're probably a 250-mile radius.
Yeah. So certainly throughout this entire region.
Correct. We're the largest independent in the Hudson Valley.
How hard is it, and I was going to ask you this, so how hard is it to stay independent?
It's hard. It's hard in every facet of my life. It's hard in the food distribution business.
Yeah.
It's hard in the farming industry. It's a tough time. It's a tough time. And that's why, no farmers, no food.
Mm.
We don't have farming, we don't have food. We don't have the food to distribute to all the schools and nursing homes and restaurants and facilities that use all our food.
How long have you been doing the show?
I've been doing this show. It will be 2 years on November 17th,
yeah.
And I'm on my sixth season.
When did you start to realize that? Because I have to say, my wife and I watch all the time. So and then they also do that thing where it seems like you're on. I don't mean this negatively, but it seems like you're on all the time, and that's cool, right?
Great.
I don't know. Do you feel that way? It's fun.
No.
When you watch it, you see you're there a lot, and it's great. And they'll show back to back episodes of the show, and it's nice because you can catch up and you can see all the things that you're doing. Talk to me a little bit about then how the book came to be, which is basically, if you will, a companion to the show of
Farmhouse Rules.
Of Farmhouse Rules of what you do.
Well, the book was just a natural flow. The show was successful. And then they said, it's time for a book, Nancy. And so I emailed all my kids and I said, send me all the recipes. Not the recipes, but tell me what your favorite foods were growing up. What did you love the most? And so I raised six kids, and everybody sent me their recipes. And I went to Florida. We have a little joint in Florida that is a wonderful reprieve when the snow's 4 feet deep.
Yep.
And I shut the door and locked the neighbors out and and sat down for 5 days and wrote recipes. And then I didn't have, I don't measure. That was an issue.
Yeah.
So then I had to have someone, redo the recipes and make sure that the measurements
now,
were accurate.
Now, did they look over your shoulder and say, oh, when you're making the bacon wrapped trout, this is what she's doing, this is what she's doing, and make notes, or do...
No.
They test everything?
No. This was a tester.
Yeah, okay.
And then you have... Well, the photographer
sure.
is the head cameraman that shoots my show. And I said, nobody knows me better than Jamie Prescott. He's had to look at me for, a year and a half at that point. And I thought that he could capture the essence of who I was best. And then the publicist said, oh, no, you need a food photographer. And I said, but he is a food photographer. And we went back and forth. And then I said, Jamie, let's do six photographs and send it to the publisher. And we'll see what they say. And they saw those photographs and said, oh, my word, what an incredible photographer. So as you can see in the book, Joe.
Yes. Well, the photos are absolutely beautiful. And talk a little bit about because the lighting, because these are all natural light. This is all basically you
absolutely.
Cook it and then you take it outside.
We did. We worked in obviously in the kitchen, and then Jamie was set up outside, and Sid McDowell, who did all our food styling and cooking, she set everything up, and Jamie and Kevin Provost took pictures. And we used all the food pictures that you see were all done in natural light. Again, we were blessed because we had beautiful sunshine.
When, if you think of a theme to the book, a theme to what you do, as we mentioned before, it's very much about family. It's very much about bringing people together and enjoying a meal. And that time, which I know growing up with me was very important, which was the mealtime where you actually get around and talk to everybody and find out what's going on in their lives.
Exactly. And I think that that's not done today. And that's the premise of my book. I want everyone to sit around the table for one meal and look.
One meal a day.
At least one meal.
Yeah.
And look in their eyes, look in your children's eyes, and have them look in yours. You ask a question, you expect an answer that's more than one syllable, and that's where communication starts. That's where communication forever starts. It's sitting down at the table, putting a napkin in your lap so that you stay put.
Right.
And
no elbows on the table.
No elbows, Mabel. It just, and I facetiously say there's enough manners in this book to get you through dinner at the White House.
Oh, that, well, that's probably true. Sure.
And it's manners. It's for kids that are graduating from college and are going off on interviews. And if you have a dinner interview, you certainly need to know which fork to use, and you need to be confident about those things. So if you sit the kids down when they're little and you teach them how to use the right fork and place their napkin, they'll grow up with it. But you can't teach them if they're not there, and you can't teach them if they're on an iPhone.
Right.
So put the technology away.
No phone zone, and this is for the parents too.
Exactly, and it's the parents that need to enforce the rules.
And then there's the making of the meal. You get home, you have mom and dad are still working, or whatever the mm-hmm. whatever the family mm-hmm. unit is. The parents are working, they're out, and they're doing their thing. They come back, and you know, it's 6:30 at night, and you got to put dinner on the table and have that time and have that meal. So you feel like you're fighting the clock at all times, and you very much address that in here as well.
And that, again, is what I want to do. Old people don't want to cook anymore, so it's an easy recipe. So if I'm cooking, takes 2 seconds. If a young person that has no time wants to cook, it's easy. Again, easy recipes, time, not much time involved, and it's about seasonal eating. If you have to go to the store, pick up a seasonal item, and it's fresh and it's nutritional because it's maximum nutritional value when it's fresh. So all of these components are part of this book just to make families' life easier.
Again, you can't get over the photography. It's absolutely beautiful. I'm always intimidated by things that have a lot of ingredients, too many ingredients.
Right. These recipes don't.
They don't. And if they do have a few, they're all very normal things. You know, you don't have to go to too many specialty food stores to find them.
I joke about this. There is nothing in this book that you cannot pronounce or that you cannot find in a grocery store. And I judge this show, I judge this holiday baking championship, which airs at 9:00 at night on Food Network starting November 1st, Sunday nights.
Okay.
And half the words I can't pronounce. And of course, they tease me unmercifully because I said, do you mean if it's chiffonob or whatever that is, whatever the word is. I'll say, you know, are you just trying to make a cake? Is that what you're trying to do? Can't we just call a cake a cake? And can't we call a custard.
Right.
So that's what I'm about. Less is more. Keep it simple. Fresh is best. Unless you're stressed, then you go to the grocery store, and instead of making the pie crust, maybe you find a little red box in the grocery store and open that pie crust and put it in that pot or that pie dish. And you're still getting fresh seasonal vegetables. You still can make or
you're cheating fruit. A little, but it's
you're
still in there.
You're cheating a little, but it's easy for you, and you still get to make that apple pie or that blueberry pie, whatever.
Nancy Fuller is the host of the show on the Food Network, Farmhouse Rules. That's the name of her new book as well, Farmhouse Rules, Simple Seasonal Meals for the Whole Family. We'll get into this more in a second, but Nancy is going to be at the Rhinebeck Farmers Market this coming Sunday, the 1st of November. That's right on Market Street in Rhinebeck. There will be a meet and greet and a book signing, and that'll go on from 11 to 1 with our good friends from Oblong Books. And so that'll all be happening on Sunday. So that's exciting. And then on Monday, you're going to be at the Claverack Library for a book signing at 7 o'clock. And that's the hometown, right?
Yes, that's okay. Where I live.
That's where you live, in a beautiful farmhouse. I've seen both 17th and 18th century listed. It's 18th century, correct?
The new house is 1766.
Okay.
The stone house is probably anywhere from 1680 to 17 something, or there was an earlier frame house there, and then the stone house. But the Conine was the road commissioner in 1683 in Claverack, from the research that I've amassed so far.
And you've lived there for how long?
Pardon me?
You've lived there for how long?
I've owned it since 2004. 2004.
2004.
2004.
I knew what you meant. That's okay.
I just got off a plane at 1 o'clock this morning from Phoenix doing book signings. I'll get better as the day goes on.
You're doing great. You're doing great. So the one that my wife and I made the other day was Chop Chop in the Pot, these pork chops. Man, are these good. First of all, I love pork chops. And I love that you use kosher salt, because that is, to me, I guess that's like a staple. All recipes have to have that. Tell me a little bit about these pork chops, because they're just incredible.
Well, what would you like to know about them?
Well, there's flour and garlic and onion and paprika and cayenne and all like good butter and all kinds of great stuff. And you take this mustard and you and it's all just very simple, and it's just great. It's just really, really good.
Well, because it has that wonderful mustard in it.
Yeah.
And it has a little of that cayenne that's so, so wonderful. And the thyme brings out such brilliance to the dish, because it's fresh. And that's another secret. If you just would use an herb, a fresh herb, it just gives a dish a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
And that's, I think why people love this pork chop is because of that fresh vegetable and that mustard. It just gives it such a blast in your mouth when you eat it.
Really wonderful stuff. And also the reason we picked it was because it seems very seasonal.
Well,
now. It's a very autumnal meal.
This is the time of year to be eating pork. Pork, you know, pigs are slaughtered in the fall, and it's great meat to eat all winter because it's heavy.
Yeah.
You know, it's heavier, more substantial. And as you can see with this recipe, there's very few ingredients. You know,
yes.
It's just easy.
All stuff that we had in the house. And the other thing, too, is that the book is not divided the way many cookbooks are, which chicken or
right. No, I didn't
or desserts or, you know, it's seasonal. And it is not done the way, so another like one fall recipe could be in the fall, or one pork recipe could be in the fall chapter, and another pork recipe could be in the winter chapter.
Correct. And maybe there's even a pork, not that there is, but you know, after the winter, you want to start using everything, if you have anything left, in the spring, so that by the time, you know, you want an empty freezer so that you have room to put in some fresh fruit.
Yeah.
And then you have a little room to put in some sweet corn or some vegetables, and then maybe you freeze tomatoes instead of canning them, and then we're back into the heavier meats in the fall.
My wife said to me after she was looking at this book, we were on the couch and we were going through it, and she said, once you saw the recipe with chocolate kisses and mini chocolate chips with your oatmeal, she said, I love this woman.
Oh, thank her for me and give her a great big hug.
I will. It's great. Can I ask you a sassy question?
You sure can.
Okay. Because I noticed this in the book, and now that you're here, I made a mental note, and then you're here, and I ask you. So, like, when you're, like, working on hamburger or meatloaf or goulash or whatever it is, and you're really using your hands, you still wear that ring. That's a hell of a ring, my friend.
Well, thank you. I have a hell of a husband.
I mean, that's a honkin' diamond ring. And so that goes in the burger, right? Like, you don't take that off.
Never. Never. That's why we have nail brushes. And we scour our hands and our rings with our nail brush.
Yeah, it's great because it looks great on TV. It looks great in the book. And on you, I will say it looks even lovelier.
Well, thank you very much. And if you go on my online store, which is new,
yeah,
nancy@fullerfarmer.com,
yeah,
you can buy a nail brush.
Oh, okay. I thought you were selling rings.
No diamonds.
It's... Well, it's so much fun to see all of this unfold, and you can understand why it's popular and why people are interested in it, because it is simple, and I think let me ask you this question. We'll close with this, which is, why do you think that in a world where we seek simplicity, we make things so difficult?
Well, that's a very good question. And difficult for me to answer because I've maintained this less is more mentality for so long. And I think we need to get back to that. I know I'm being evasive.
No, but I understand what you're saying.
I think, and again, I'm a country girl.
Yeah.
And I think that people in the country are still country people.
Yeah.
I think that it's the cosmopolitan areas, the metropolitan areas where things are going really quickly, and I think it's the media. I think it's this technology that's created this room, you know, get up and go.
And you think we would be able to do, because I also live in, like you, I live in the middle of nowhere and love it and live in a farming community and farms all around me. And you wake up and you smell that eau de cow and it's the most beautiful smell that you've ever smelled. And it's, but we can live that life in the city. We can live that life in urban areas as well. You're here to tell us. I mean, is that true? I mean, we can live that life, that simple life, even if we live in a city.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's your mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's truly your mentality. You can be in the city and not go a million miles an hour by putting down the cell phone or by shutting down the computer, by going to the green market or a grocery store and buying simple foods and going home and making simple foods.
Well, Nancy Fuller's show is Farmhouse Rules. The book is Farmhouse Rules, Simple Seasonal Meals for the Whole Family. You can find out more on our website. It's Nancy Fuller.
Nancy at Fuller Farmer.
It's Nancy Fuller.
FullerFarmer.com.
FullerFarmer.com.
FullerFarmer.com. Can you tell I'm a little...
How many radio hosts and assistants does it take to get it right? FullerFarmer.com, and as where all the information is. Here's more information. Nancy is going to be at the Rhinebeck Farmers Market this Sunday. It's a meet and greet. It's a book signing. It's from 11 to 1, and you can meet Nancy there. Also, she'll be at the Claverick Library at 7 o'clock on Monday, November 2nd at the Claverick Library at 7. And again, the book is Farmhouse Rules. Nancy, you're an absolute delight. Thank you so much for coming in, so much for being here. I know you're traveling all over the place, and I really appreciate you coming in and making time for us.